Hey, welcome back to Corinth in Your Car. I'm Josh. I'm here with Luke and Adam, and we are excited to be back again. Hope you all are doing well, and want to say thanks, as always, just for tuning in and listening. So, guys, let's get right to it. Just a weekly kind of check-in. It's March now, so that's kind of crazy. I think
some would say it's mad.
It's almost madness.
Complete.
Yeah.
Madness. Chaos.
I think we have a birthday coming up. Is that right, Luke?
Yeah, so Sunday the 5th.
Yeah.
So yesterday, okay. If you're listening, was the day.
Yeah, there you 20, go.
27, so if there was anything still out there about the prefrontal cortex of my brain being fully developed,
yeah.
Theoretically that was supposed to happen 2 years ago, but
why haven't
now
you,
I'm confident.
Why
like
haven't
now,
you,
27 years old, I'm confident.
Why haven't you won two Super Bowls since you're 27?
I have. Vicariously through
there you go.
Cheering for the Chiefs.
Exactly.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We did it.
Yeah.
Hard for that, man.
Are your I saw a little bit of pollen on the ground. Are your allergies popping? Any of y'all? Yet?
Yeah. I woke up this morning stuffed up. I was talking to Tristan on the phone this morning, and the first thing she said was, "Luke, you sound stuffed up." And I was like, "That is an accurate assessment."
Yeah.
There.
I
am.
I might be stuck up, but I'm not stuffed up right now.
Not yet. Hey, that's good.
Yeah, there you go.
Even though I did hear the pollen count was like 700 yesterday.
It was on my car. Like, it's on the cars.
The yellow on the cars. The stairs in the teen room. I just walked up.
There's some rain coming around this weekend, which will wash it all away again. And then you'll be ready to go for another round of pollen.
Adam, you said last week that fake spring was here.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think it's here to stay, or do you think it's going away? Because
I'm actually starting to wonder.
I'm wondering too. The farthest out I see on the weather, the lowest says 50.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, not super cold.
Yeah. I mean,
we'll see.
I was seeing 43 for Saturday morning.
Okay.
Yeah. This weekend there's supposed to be a couple of lower temperatures, but after that
it's not. Like
it should be spring
snap.
After this weekend.
After this
last rain, cold storm coming through.
We can
it should
hope.
Be spring.
There will still be. There will still be one of those weekends or days whenever it's just going to plummet. It's going to happen.
Okay.
It's going to happen before Easter.
My trees are budding in my backyard. Yeah. I see the green coming out. Hey, this was fun. Driving in this morning, my car crossed 200,000.
Oh, man. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Way to go.
I even took a picture. Yeah. 67 degrees and 200,000 miles. Pontiac Vibe going strong.
That is an incredible milestone.
Yeah, man. How about your all week? Your all's week? Any things to write home about?
I did not cross 200,000.
Yeah.
I don't know. Normal week. Tristan started her next clinical rotation in Macon at a hospital, and so we're kind of trying to figure that one out. Youth group stuff was fun last night, and we threw axes.
Threw some stuff, I saw the target still
target.
Out there. Is that available for us on our lunch break today?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. Go out in the rain.
That might actually help them stick a little bit better than it would. So you might have some luck there.
Yeah.
Yeah, but good week
so Adam, far. Same, good week.
Yeah, good week. Just another week, another brick in the wall.
Another week. Hey, yesterday, the new series, Healer, and you started out the sermon with storms.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought it'd be fun just to ask any other memorable storms for either of you guys growing up or even here in Georgia, or what jumps to mind?
I mean, I can remember growing up in Carthage. So Carthage has never been hit by a tornado or anything of that nature, but we were always surrounded by them. And so I think probably the most memorable one was, so I guess to set the scene, is you just get so used to the sirens going off and those things that it just really doesn't do anything to you. So I always knew that whenever mom got scared is whenever I needed to get scared.
Yeah.
And so I remember there was one specific storm that was really bad that we actually did the get in the hallway, pull out a mattress and put it over the top of us kind of thing.
Yep.
So that's about the only one that I really remember. I was probably about 8 or 9 years old.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you would think I lived in Joplin for 4 years, and that's kind of a hub for the tornadoes, but never had to hear, I never even heard the sirens. Like, we never had to deal with anything there. So I just think about some like smaller storms. I remember one summer, it was the first summer that I had moved here. So 2019, I went to kids camp, and we were staying in a house with like 20 fourth and fifth graders and mm-hmm. such like that. We were staying at a house and there were like two showers, and towards the end of the week, they were getting gross. I mean, right? Like,
oh yeah.
20
right, towards the beginning of the week, they were already
fifth graders taking showers. Like, it's pretty gross. And so I wasn't super keen on using said shower. And so this massive rainstorm came in, and I was like, here's my chance. So I went outside in my swimsuit and I shampooed my hair.
Rain shower.
Yeah. In the rain.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. And it was an amazing experience. This last one that came through Walton County like a semi truck got a tree like knocked over into it, and I had to jump up into the air. This was not long after the summer, and so Tristan and I had this little inflatable pool that we just
The one from last summer.
We got this inflatable pool for the summer. We'd just fill it up with water and sit in it. And so it was empty. It didn't have any water in it, but it was out. And so like we live in a basement. The only window to our house is through the front door. And yes. So I'm just like watching TV, and all of a sudden I look over and it was completely sunny. And then 5 mm-hmm. minutes later, when I looked out, it was completely gray. And I was like, oh my gosh, I got to go check this out. So I walk out and my disc golf basket was blown over and the inflatable pool was in the air, like going towards the cow pasture. And so I had to go chase it down and like jump up out of the air and grab it and then get it out of the way. So that one was kind of fun.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know that I have crazy storm stories, but those are the couple that come to mind.
I mean, I was actually, so 2011, that big tornado came through Joplin, the one you're referring to, Adam. I was there for it, but not really there for it. We were in my parents' basement, not even watching the storm. Because, you know, Joplin was one of those tornado watches, warnings all the time. And we didn't think anything of it. We were in the basement. I remember just watching TV. My sister was graduating college. And so I was there for that in May. I was already here working. But then it developed and the whole thing went through. And we just were blown away. No pun intended. not to joke about that. It's a big deal. But we were just shocked at how bad it actually was. And then we came back a few weeks later to do some cleanup. And so, yeah.
Well, I mean, I know I was in Joplin for school from 2015 to 2019. And the last time I was in Joplin was a year ago. And even now, like, you can still see and you can tell where the tornado
You can tell the path, through, yeah.
Because
oh, yeah.
they still haven't
the
rebuilt.
Still gone
they and... haven't rebuilt anything. They're rebuilding. They haven't rebuilt all of it. And the trees, for sure, you can just tell there's mm-hmm. there's a lot of stuff that's still missing. And it's been over 10 years.
Yeah. So. You know, that storm last year, Luke, that you're talking about, we lost a huge tree in our backyard. And the positive was I got a chainsaw and an axe out of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I had to buy it. But anyway, I have
it
one now.
It was your excuse to
buy
it.
Yeah, you got to buy it. So, cool. Storms led us into the sermon from Sunday, Adam, yesterday for our listeners. So let's talk about that. It's a new series, Healer. We started out in Mark chapter 4 with mm-hmm. just the big storm. Really one of the longest days, if not the longest day in the life of Jesus that's recorded.
Right.
And so kind of a cool story, but recap us from what you said yesterday, just real quick, and we'll jump in.
Yeah, no, it's just the idea of why do storms come up? You know, how do we handle a storm? And it really is. It's a fantastic story. And I even hesitate calling it a story because it's not a story. It's not a fairy tale.
Correct.
You know, it really happened. And so it's just a fascinating event. How about that?
Narrative, yeah.
Narrative of mm-hmm. what took place. And I think that it's got so many lessons for us of just what following Jesus can lead to. And so hopefully it was helpful. Hopefully it was encouraging. Hopefully, so we're doing this on Thursday. So I haven't actually preached it yet. Hopefully it was not 55 minutes long. I love the story.
Well, yeah. So it's interesting you said, hopefully it's not 55 minutes, because this whole narrative really goes at the end of chapter 4, but then all the way through chapter 5, and there's a whole demoniac and bleeding woman and dead girl.
Which will be in next week, or the next couple of weeks. Yeah.
I was going to say, I wasn't quite sure, wasn't quite remembering where the texts were leading us, but it's an incredible day. It's an incredible day. So, Luke, what jumps out to you when you think about just the beginning part of that narrative, just the storm? You know, the Adam preached on.
Yeah, I think what I thought was just really encouraging to me, and hopefully for those who are listening, was for sure the awesome narrative of what actually happened. But I thought just the application from yesterday was really powerful. Following Jesus doesn't prevent storms, and sometimes Jesus sends us into the storms. And so then, how can we figure out how to navigate those storms? So I think that first one just. For a long time when I was little, I kind of was under the impression that when you follow Jesus, you're going to be, 100% taken care of and nothing bad is going to happen. You're going to be protected. You're going to be safe and all that sort of stuff. And sure, there's some of that there, but it's never really promised that you're going to not be put in a storm. In fact, it's the opposite. Jesus and the New Testament writers say over and over again.
Yeah.
Now, when you follow Jesus, you will experience a tough season. You will experience some sort of persecution. You'll go through seasons of storms. And so I think it's just important to put that in front of us again yesterday and just to remind ourselves that's a truth, because it's a part of life. And we as followers of Jesus have a better way of dealing with it. And going through it than any other. So I don't know. That was a powerful reminder to me yesterday. So I was grateful for that.
Yeah. I haven't even talked to you about this for a while, Luke. Are you caught up on The Chosen?
I am. Yep. We watched all the way through season 3.
Okay. We started season 3 just 2 days ago.
Okay.
So we've only watched one episode. But okay. I know the story, so you can don't feel like
that. No. Spoiler alert. What I'm saying,
Jesus comes back to life.
Not in season 3. No.
Well, yeah, true.
No. Adam, as I was reading through your transcript, just some of the themes that they started to bring out in season 3, but also even before that, of some of the disciples of Jesus and those who are close to him are experiencing some hardship.
Yeah.
And they're asking this question, why not heal me?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they did a really good job. Obviously, it's artistic, license to tell what ailments they had or what things they were going through. But it wasn't out of the question that these characters could have been dealing with what they were dealing with.
Correct.
And I thought it was just so powerful to see people wrestle with the fact that Jesus is there and could heal them or could deliver them. And he does, he doesn't. From that ailment, but he's still the Messiah. So, Adam, I also think it's interesting. We talk about just preparing for a message. There's so much study and planning and thinking and praying that goes into it, but sometimes things hit the cutting room floor, as we say.
Yeah.
So, was there something that hit the floor that didn't make it into the message? That just a cool thing to throw in for our listeners here.
There's actually a lot that hit the floor. None of the bodies hit the floor.
I was about to make the same joke.
Yep.
Let the bodies hit the floor.
Bodies did not hit the floor. But so two things really kind of if I could only pick two, I'd pick these two things. One thing was the irony that these disciples who are upset that Jesus is asleep in their greatest hour of need are the same disciples who will fall asleep during Jesus' greatest hour of need.
Ooh, yeah. Gethsemane.
Uh-huh.
Nice. Yeah, that's cool.
And so it's just like, they're all up in arms. You don't care, blah, 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 blah. And really he did. He did care. He was just really not too concerned about it.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever he needed them, they fall asleep. And, so I thought that was interesting. The other one that I thought was interesting is what woke Jesus up was not, and this is more devotional in nature than anything, but what woke Jesus up wasn't the wind, it wasn't the storm, it wasn't the rain, it wasn't the lightning, it wasn't the thunder.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it's technically the lightning, but what woke Jesus up was the voice of his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
And so just them saying the word to him is what got him out of his rest, out of his sleep. And so I think the devotional meaning in that is, hey, Jesus hears us.
Mm-hmm.
Even whenever all the storms of life are going on, we can, what Satan wants to do is to make us just stay silent and think that he doesn't care, that he is asleep at the wheel. Whenever reality is, we just need to say something. We need to cry out. And whenever we cry out, he will hear us. Mm-hmm. Now, he may not tell the storm in our life to sit down and shut up and stay mm-hmm. shut up.
Yeah.
But he is going to give us his presence. And so I think those are just two real quick things that just kind of hit the floor. Just don't have time to fit everything in there.
It really is fascinating doing all that study. You really could preach an hour and a half and still not even get all of it out.
And I was just looking at
it. Trend for Corinth?
Yeah. Next week's podcast will be 3 hours.
Sermon will be an hour and a half, so Buckle in. And
sit down and stay shut up.
And don't go asleep. Don't fall asleep.
Yeah.
So I thought an interesting connection, just putting the last two sermons together, the last sermon of How to Win.
Mm-hmm.
You talked about Proverbs, I believe, 29, right? The fear of man is a mm-hmm. trap. But those who trust in the Lord, essentially are set free. They have a refuge.
Mm-hmm.
And what a cool connection to just 1 week later, totally new series, totally new story. But here we are again. Those who, like when you fear Jesus, then you're actually fearless. Because if you see Jesus for who he is and you fear him biblically, like we talked about 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
You're in awe of him, you're reverently worshiping him. Then you truly can be fearless about the rest of life. I thought that was pretty interesting as well.
Love it.
All right. If you realize you're like the disciples before the calm, and you're like scared and you're in fear, how can we maybe shift to be like the disciples after the storm and be more fearful of Jesus instead of the storm? So I don't know. Luke, what are you thinking on that? Just how can you get yourself, I'm thinking kind of practically, so in real life sort of terms and situations, can we challenge people to get from a place of fear of storm to fear of Jesus instead?
I think perspective is key here, right? And it's tough to shift your perspective in the middle of a storm because mm-hmm. you're in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
But here's just the question that I'm asking, right? So you see the disciples that are, they're scared about the storm, but then when Jesus says, silence, be still, and it is silent and still,
uh-huh.
they're more scared.
They are, yeah.
Right? So their fear, the perspective shifts then whenever the storm actually stops. But what if they were able to get to the perspective before that, right?
Right.
So I'm just asking the question, like, what actually is more terrifying, to be in the middle of a storm or to be in the presence of the voice that created the heavens and the earth, right? Like that is such an incredible thing to think through when you realize that the presence of Jesus, the presence of God, you are in such a holy and powerful place that in some senses it should overwhelm us and it should terrify us because mm-hmm. we are apart from the work of Jesus Christ and our faith through him. We are not holy enough to be there, right? And so that's kind of the response of the disciples here. It's like they're realizing that Jesus is different, you know? I think in the Gospel of Mark, the confession that Jesus is the Son of God doesn't come from Peter until chapter 8. But in chapter 4, they're getting a pretty good idea who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And they see him do this, and they're like, oh my goodness, there's something to this. And so I think just perspective, to remember that the presence of God that you have access to through your faith is more powerful than the storm that you're scared of right now.
Yeah.
So because Jesus cares for you, you can actually find comfort. And this is a weird line to say. You can actually find comfort in the fear of Jesus and the respect mm-hmm. of Jesus and the awe of mm-hmm. Jesus because he's going to take care of you and see you through it.
I like that word, just perspective. And so maybe thinking through some practical cues or prompts in your life, maybe something written or mm-hmm. a note on your phone, an alarm, a habit you do every day, just to, because, you know, our knowledge leaks so fast. Adam, what are you thinking? How can we kind of make that shift for for what the disciples did?
Yeah, I think so the reason they're afraid is for the ancients, first century. You know, for us, you know, we think about the ocean, it's something we fly over, or we go on a cruise and we jump on a nice boat and eat way too much food and
you know,
get to do that. But for the ancients, the sea is like, it's untamable.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
it is mm-hmm. it's powerful, and it's a place to fear. And so for them, that's what I mean, these guys are literally afraid for their life. They think they're saying they're like, we're dying. We're going to die here.
And this is a big deal because this is what they did for a living. So it's not like random passengers. It's these are professionals who did this all the time on this sea.
And they would have they would have respected it and like kind of that same fear. Yeah. Like there was a I think it's in the Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power. There's a character. I know I'm going way nerdy here. There's a character who's like training to become a person in the Navy. But they're like, of course, like old fashioned rowboats and pirate ships and all that sort of stuff. Like, but he did something wrong, and the commander was like, "You didn't respect the sea." So it's kind of like the similar thing. Like they fear it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, and so I think for like how we manage it is just getting to this place to where. So Psalm 107 says, you know, he calmed the storm to a whisper and he stilled the waves.
Mm-hmm.
What a blessing was that stillness as he brought them safely into harbor. And so, you know, I think Luke is right. It's a matter of perspective. You know, Jesus is like, you still have no faith. After everything you've seen me do up until this point, you still don't get it, do you? And, you know, and so it's getting that perspective of just going, wait a second, this is the one who can calm the storm. And for whatever reason, he's allowing this storm in my life. Maybe he sent it, maybe he decreed it, maybe he's just allowing it, but he has me here right now, and so I want to be a person that is able to say, you know what, Jesus, I do believe, I'm trusting you. You know, it's the prayer that we've mentioned before, one of my favorite prayers in the Bible, I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it's maybe that's the prayer that we kind of memorize in the midst of the storm is just, hey, God, I do believe. Help me overcome this lack of faith right now, because I want to trust that you are going to still this storm.
Yeah, and I think sometimes faith doesn't necessarily mean feelings, because I think you can still practice faith and still have feelings of of unsettling, being unsettled or anxiousness, nervousness, but still choose, I guess, to say those declarations, to practice faith, even in the midst of maybe feelings that
That way. Did you wake up this morning and declare over your life a choice to follow Jesus today?
Mm-hmm.
Then you are demonstrating faith, no matter what the storms you're experiencing make you feel like.
Yeah, right? And that kind of comes to the next question. Adam, I loved your line. It says that Jesus was physically tired. He was sleeping, right?
Mm-hmm.
He was spiritually awake. And I think that's key for all of us. You hear a lot of people say, hey, I'm good, I'm just tired, or I'm good, I'm just busy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that in the midst of the tiredness or busyness, it's key to stay spiritually awake.
Yeah.
And so any just quick thoughts on that, just how...
Rhythm.
Love it.
I mean, if you've been here
2 weeks,
you've heard us use that. And that's why we keep saying it.
Yeah. And so whether you feel like it or not, just keep doing those rhythms. Whether you think you have time or not... you do. So let's get them done. And,
always have time to do what I do first.
What you do first. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yep.
So I love the story. Mark 4:35-41, calming of the storm, sit down and shut up and stay shut up. I love that. the physical elements. I think this is cool. They listened because they had heard his voice before when he created them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's wild. It's pretty cool. But thinking through just application, loved these 3 points. Following Jesus doesn't prevent storms. Number 2, sometimes Jesus sends us into the storm.
Mm-hmm.
And then how do we navigate? I think that's great, because there's just a truth in life that we're going to go through storms. We're probably going through one, or we just came through one, or we're going to go again. We're in the midst of one. So I love those 3 points. Let's talk about the first one. Following Jesus doesn't prevent storms. Adam, give us kind of some direction on that. What were your thoughts there? Remind us or even add something else.
Yeah, no, I think And I think we've said it before that one of the biggest lies out there is like the safest place to be is the center of God's will.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
it's not.
it's not. It's the best place to be.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that safe is the right word because, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to go into a storm. And, you know, I was looking at the next few weeks, you know, like of this series. So it's a 6-week series. 4 weeks is in Mark 4 and Mark 5.
Yeah.
So awesome. Yeah. We're dealing.
I love what Mark does here, yeah. and I won't say it yet because I don't want to spoil it for,
yeah,
for
spoiler.
Anybody, but there's some really cool stuff that he's doing with all of these narratives.
Yeah, and so you know the whole narrative here starts with Jesus saying, "Let's go to the other side." It's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's get in the boat. We're going to the other side. And where are they going? Well, because we get to read the whole story, we know that they're going to the Gerasenes. That he's going to Gentile world. You know that he's going to be. You know, doing things in areas that haven't never experienced that. And so it's not a surprise to experience opposition.
Mm-hmm.
And so whenever we make a decision to step out in faith, to follow Jesus, to be faithful and to say, I'm going to do what I feel like the Lord is calling me to do, we should not be surprised when storms show mm-hmm. up. Following Jesus doesn't prevent storms. It just means that Jesus is with you in the storm,
yeah.
which is a much better place to be. It's better to be with Jesus in a storm than it is to be on dry land, I think, because you're with him.
Yeah, I loved your line. You said he's on mission to defeat the devil. So is it any surprise that a storm breaks out?
Yeah.
You know, like I think sometimes we forget how spiritual the world really is,
mm-hmm.
and there are spiritual forces around us. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. I love how you pointed out, step in to serve or lead a group or start rhythms with your family.
Yeah.
And yeah, some things are going to come. And that's because Satan realizes like you're going somewhere now.
Yeah.
And so I guess take heart because sometimes.
That's why he's the adversary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. The enemy.
He is the enemy.
Yeah, I love that.
Satan means like the accuser yeah. and the enemy. Yeah. So
I love the line that you had yesterday when you're on your way to storm the gates of hell.
Uh-huh.
Don't yep. be surprised when the gates of hell send a storm your way.
Yeah.
Because Satan is desperate.
Yeah.
Because he knows he's lost. Mm-hmm. So he's going to throw everything that he can at us. Yep. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory
mm-hmm. through
our Lord Jesus Christ.
That should be in the Bible.
Yeah, I think so too.
I love these first two points. You know, following Jesus doesn't prevent the storm. And then number two, you know, sometimes Jesus sends us into the storm. It's to me, it's almost like two sides of the same coin.
Mm-hmm.
Because maybe one side of that coin is the storms that the enemy is throwing at you, and Jesus isn't necessarily going to prevent every single one of those, but the enemy is throwing them at you because you're doing good work, you're following Jesus, and he's storming the gates of hell, and so are you, that kind of stuff. But also, it's interesting to think sometimes Jesus sends us into the storm. So explain that one and how sending us into storms can be helpful and even loving. Where are you going with that one? Or where did you go, I guess, in the sermon?
Yeah, and I think the disclaimer that we want to put on this one is it's not saying that every single bad sure. thing that happens in our life is because God sent that our way.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes God just allows things. He allows them to happen or he can decree them to happen. And so learning to be able to differentiate between those two, I'm not saying that's easy or anything like that, but I do think it's a fair question to ask. It's like, okay, did God send this my way? Is he trying to get my attention? Oswald Chambers talks about sometimes how God sends clouds in our life, not because he wants us to learn something, but because he wants us to unlearn something.
Yeah, I love that too.
Mm-hmm. And so, it's just thinking through that, and it may be because he sees us headed in a wrong direction. And so he sends a storm to us to say, hey, turn around. So there's all kinds of possibilities uh-huh. that are there. And so sometimes he just sends us into it. And it's in those moments to where we do have to remember, I am not the captain of my ship. Mm-hmm. I am merely a passenger. And so if that's the chart or that's the course that he has charted for me, even if I don't understand it, I say, okay, God, in your infinite wisdom, for whatever reason, this is where you're sending me. This is what you've sent me or sent to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so help me to develop. Help me to unlearn whatever I need to unlearn or you know what? Help me to develop the faith that I need, because faith is generally grown in difficulty, not in easy. And so,
yeah. Luke, how can you help encourage our listeners just to reframe the perspective of Jesus into sending us into storms?
Yeah, I've just pulled up Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. Says we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, or I'll just call it storms, right? Mm-hmm. When we run into storms, for we know that they help us develop endurance, and endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. Mm-hmm. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he's given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. So there's this idea, too, that sometimes Jesus sends us into a storm to sharpen us and to deepen us and to strengthen, as you were saying, Adam, our faith in him. And so I think I've said it before. I think whenever we were talking a few weeks ago to my friend who left the faith, I said, there's almost this sense for a Christian that whenever Jesus does send you into a storm, there can be some gratitude for it as well. And it's like, I know that this is a storm and it's hard, and we're not discounting that it's hard, but Jesus, thank you for the storm, and thank you for being with me in the storm, because I know that on the other side of this, I'm going to be stronger.
Yeah. I believe the message you're talking about was from January 29th. And the question to my friend who left the faith was, if God is so good, why do bad things happen? And just, this is fresh in my mind because I actually pulled it up yesterday and looked at it. The bottom line, I believe, or the challenge, I think, actually, was reframe the pain.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that was the whole idea. God is with you. So if you do want to go back, if you missed January 29th or you need to re-listen, that's a good message to consider as well on the podcast, where we talked through those kind of things as well, just for some encouragement and resources and extra thoughts on pain. I was thinking about just the disciples themselves, you know, and how, would you say in Mark, it is chapter 8 that Peter makes the confession. Is that right?
Yep. It's in chapter 8.
You know, and you know, it's further along in other books. And the point being, if the disciples never were in this storm, maybe they don't get to the place where Peter confesses at the same time. Like Jesus is using all of this. They are going into Gentile territory, right? And so they're like, Jesus is teaching them lessons all the way through it. It's fascinating to think about it. Plus, I mean, not to steal much thunder, but people on the other side of the lake have seen a storm that instantly stopped.
Mm-hmm.
They witnessed that. And that's creating an opportunity as well for what's going to happen on the other side of the lake. People who are curious and figuring out what in the world just went on last night.
Did you hear Josh say not to steal the thunder?
Not to steal the thunder. I know. I didn't do that on purpose, but I saw your eyes, Adam, when I said that.
It's like God turned on the clapper or something like that. It's like clap on and clap off.
Yeah.
We're done.
Yeah. No pun intended.
One of my, this is completely irrelevant to the conversation. One of the most proud fantasy football team's names that I ever had was No Punt Intended.
No punt.
Ooh, that's
and
good.
My logo was great job, was man. A guy who was punting, but with like a caution sign through it, like no punting.
That's great.
Anyway, there's also that old
thing to do with this.
There's also the old like cheesy dad joke about I submitted 10 jokes to the joke competition and. You know,
didn't win.
No pun intended.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Nope.
Yeah. Really, really bad. I don't think I told it correctly either. So that doesn't help.
You did okay.
All right.
It was close.
Sorry for the storms of this podcast.
Or shoes and hand grenades. You know, we can be close.
Yeah.
Let's hang out on this last one for a little bit, because I think we can kind of agree that, yeah, following Jesus doesn't prevent storms. We can get there. Like we should be able to trust that. Sometimes Jesus, if we believe he is God, that he's sovereign, that he has our best in mind, we can believe that. So I think just the practicality of this next one is super important to get through. How do we navigate?
Right.
And Adam, in the sermon you said, look to the sleeping Jesus, like all caps, sleeping. I love that. So what can that teach us about how to navigate the storms?
So if he's asleep, then we can rest.
Mm-hmm.
If he's not worried, then I don't have to worry. Because whenever I'm encountering whatever difficulty, or any of us are encountering a difficulty, it's just kind of fun to imagine. So what is Jesus doing in heaven? So is he up there pacing back and forth going, oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to get Turner out of this, you know?
Right.
This is just awful. I mean, he's messed things up so bad, you know, and he's in the midst of this storm and golly, God, Dad, what are we going to do here? I mean, you see,
yeah,
you know, and it's laughable to just think that that's what Jesus is doing in heaven while we're up there, you know, while we're experiencing the difficulty and the hardship. And so it's like, what's he probably, he may very well be taking a nap, you know, because he's like, my father has it. Mm-hmm. And so we have to learn to get to that place. I think I read somewhere, it says like, you know, don't worry about tomorrow, for each day has enough trouble of its own. And who of you by worrying can even add a single hour to your life. And so it's like learning to just get to that place and preaching to myself. You know, okay, Adam, don't worry. God does have this. God has all of this under his control. And the reason I can know that is because Jesus does love me.
Mm-hmm.
The storm doesn't care about me. The storm would love to destroy me, but Jesus does love me. And it's not, and I hate this phrase, so I don't use it very often, but it is not fair of me to say to Jesus, you don't care because I'm experiencing this storm.
Mm-hmm.
Because he died for me. He experienced all pain, separation, the greatest storm for me on my behalf. And so it's like, if he's able to rest in the midst of a storm, I should be able to do that as well. But there is actually a second part of this. You know, you talk about things that hit the cutting room floor.
Yeah.
It's not just you look to the sleeping Jesus. It's actually you look to the standing Jesus mm-hmm. as well.
Yep.
Yeah.
The one who stands up and says to the storms, sit mm-hmm. down, shut up, and stay shut up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what drives us to the point, you know, what Luke was talking about earlier. It's like, who in the world is this guy? Mm-hmm. Even the winds and the waves obey mm-hmm. him. And that drives us to just a place of awe and reverence. And, you know, good, godly fear. And that's what holds us in point.
Yeah. Luke, what are your thoughts on navigating?
I'm holding on to that word navigate. And usually whenever you throw the word navigate out in any context, what you're saying is, okay, I'm looking for something, right? And so in the midst of a storm, it's really, really easy to try and navigate your way to the end of the storm or out of the storm, right? Mm-hmm. So we want to focus, and while we're in the middle of a storm, because it's hard, we focus so much on navigating ourselves out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But the way that I'm thinking about it with this whole looking to Jesus is, rather than trying to find our way out of the storm, what if we just tried to find Jesus in the storm? Mm-hmm. Right. So that's kind of navigating to Jesus rather than out of the storm, understanding that Jesus is with us in the storm and is going to see us through it. Right. Mm-hmm. Here's the truth about storms. They end. Right. Like they do. Mm-hmm. You know, this weekend it's going to rain, probably Friday and Saturday. Sunday, it's probably not.
Mm-hmm.
You know, storms always, always end. It's true about the seasons that we go through. Every storm does have an end. And rather mm-hmm. than just desire the end so much, what if we desired Jesus in the midst of it and used
I like that as
some really, really great encouragement that he's with us through it, because he loves us and the storm doesn't, as Adam said.
Yeah, I love that too. That's the big difference. The storm doesn't love you.
Yeah.
You know, so when you get to the point where you see Jesus who loves you, and once again, I feel like we're going back to the word perspective a lot today,
mm-hmm.
you know? Mm-hmm. Luke, when you said navigate a while ago, that popped an idea into my head that navigation is a journey.
Yeah.
It takes steps.
It's not a path. Yeah.
Well, it's time oriented.
Yeah.
So navigating out of a storm doesn't mean that you're out of it instantly.
Right.
It means there's a journey. And so that does mean, I'm just thinking practically. So you've been through a major event. That's not just going to heal instantly. You might have to have some conversations, right? You might have to call someone up and take them to coffee or schedule a counseling appointment. Get that on the books. Like do something to navigate out of that. If there's relational tension, then you get back into the right rhythms, and it's going to take some time. You get back on track, but it's a journey, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. What else from this last one? Jesus is as unmanageable as the storm itself. I love that line.
Yeah.
That's a powerful reminder perspective to see Jesus. The storm doesn't love you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
If you have a God big enough that you can be mad at, mm-hmm. you also have a God who is powerful. So Adam, talk about that line just a little bit, because I think we said it before, but I think there's some freedom for some people to know that just because they might have feelings towards God doesn't make them a bad person, a bad Christian.
Right.
You can experience all those. So talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, no, I think that it's, you know, because like, I don't want anybody to hear us say it's like, oh, you're just going to enjoy the storm, you know.
Correct.
There are some storms that are kind of like that we go through that it, like I'm thinking like a real, like literal rainstorm. Sometimes it's just
sometimes
fun.
It's fun to watch a thunderstorm. Absolutely. Yeah,
sometimes you shampoo your head in it.
Sometimes you shampoo your head in it. And but, you know, generally the storms that we're talking about, you know, these like really, really difficult seasons, nobody's saying you have to enjoy the hurricane. But it is saying we're going to trust. And in the midst of it, like this morning I was reading Psalm 70. And just one of the things that it says there at the end of the psalm is, you know, but may all who search for you be filled with joy and gladness in you. May those who love your salvation repeatedly shout, God is great. But then David ends it by saying, but as for me, I'm poor and needy. Please hurry to my aid, O God. You are my helper and my savior. Lord, do not delay. And I think that in the midst of the storm, that is a very appropriate prayer. Of God, I believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. And if it's okay, could you hurry?
Yeah.
You know, because I'm tired. I'm weary. And God will hear that prayer. He may not answer it the way we want to answer it, but I think that's a very honest and raw prayer of just like, hey, this is where I am. God, would you please hurry? And so, yeah, the idea that if we've got a God that's big enough to be mad, that you know, that we can be mad at, that means he's big enough that we can love as well.
When the disciples wake Jesus up, Jesus doesn't, you know, roll over and say, 5 more minutes, yeah. You know, he's up and he's active. And
it's funny, Dominic did that this morning.
Yeah.
Just another minute.
Just another minute.
So Adam, I read this morning, Psalm 112.
Okay.
And so here's what it says, verse 6. The righteous will never be moved. He will be remembered forever. I love this. He is not afraid of bad news.
Mm.
His heart is firm, trusting in the Lord. His heart is steady. Mm-hmm. He will not be afraid until he looks in triumph over his adversaries.
Yeah.
He's not afraid of bad news.
Yeah.
And that's the truth. Like, storms are going to come. We're in one. We're out of one. They're going to come again.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the righteous is not afraid of bad news because we know it's going to happen, but we know God is with us and he's bigger than all of that.
Yeah, and I think that's where the bottom line ends up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the never let the presence of a storm mm-hmm. cause you to doubt the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we're in a storm doesn't mean that God has abandoned you. It doesn't mean that he mm-hmm. has forgotten you. Doesn't mean he doesn't love you. So don't let the presence of a storm cause you to doubt his presence.
Yeah, challenge was really practical and really good. Use what you've learned in your storm to help someone through theirs.
Mm-hmm.
And so you gave some suggestions yesterday, like helping someone get out of debt or navigate cancer treatments, mm-hmm. things like that. What are some other, just off the cuff here, or thought out practical suggestions for people to use? And maybe you haven't even been through that specific storm, but you could still help somebody
right.
through theirs. I mean, what are some other ideas you have? Anything?
I mean, I think about, you know, people who've had trouble raising their children, or even if you don't have trouble, you always have difficulty at some point raising your kid.
You just need someone to talk to.
Just need somebody to talk to, or just to encourage, and, you know, and so you see a young mom, you know, pushing a kid in a stroller, carrying one in a carrier, mm-hmm. you know, through Kroger, and they're screaming and crying and wanting, you know, Cocoa Puffs or whatever it is that they want these days. You know, and,
cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
Yeah. And, you know, it's just, hey, you're doing a good job.
Yeah.
You know, And just doing those things, just being able to help someone. We've all been through storms. Every single one of us has been through at least one storm in our life. Mm-hmm. And so you just kind of look around and it's like, what did I learn in that storm? How did God bring me through it? And just be there for somebody as they go through theirs.
Yeah, I know you've talked about experience. What is it? Experience isn't really the teacher. It's reflected experience that you reflect upon.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, maybe when the time is right, you can reflect on your experience
mm-hmm.
so you can be prepared to have conversations or help people.
Yeah, and that's probably something that needs to be done beforehand, before you even try to help someone.
That's what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, it's just to
reflect on it.
Yeah, articulate, reflect on it. You know, I think it's Henry Nouwen that says that which is most personal is most universal.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's whenever he also says that it's basically it's foolish to think anybody can be led out of the desert by anybody mm-hmm. who hasn't been there.
Yeah.
And so it's looking back and saying, so what are those deserts? What are those storms that I have been through? Spend time personally reflecting, articulating what was it that God taught you, what you learned, so that whenever you do encounter somebody who's in that same storm, you're able to offer not really advice, because generally advice in the midst of a storm probably isn't too helpful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But just to offer
just a presence,
hope and presence mm-hmm. and a comfort.
Yeah. Luke, what are your thoughts? How can you practically help someone else navigate their storm?
My mind went immediately to teenagers. And so I'm thinking about them. I think there might be like two teenagers that listen to this podcast. And so if you do, I'm proud of you. Keep tuning in.
Spread the word.
Yeah.
Be sure to like
it. I've had yeah. I've had some conversations with teenagers who have gone through storms. Uh-huh. Right. And, uh-huh. Sometimes the way that they make sense of it is, but I haven't gone through enough yet to be able to help someone. Like, right, uh-huh. I'm just 15, I'm just 17, I'm just 18.
That's a good word, you know, yeah.
Somebody is thinking through, they're thinking through someone who's, you know, like 45, 50, 70 years old, who has season after season after season of storm, and they're thinking, well, they're the ones that are qualified to lead and to help others. And so to someone who might think, whether a teenager or not, to someone who might think, well, I've really only been through one storm, or I've really only been through three storms, and it wasn't really that you know, significant or anything like that. I would just say, man, you've been through a storm, and so you can help and lead others. That phrase from Henry Nouwen and Adam that you used, I think is so good. The way that I have heard it said before is just you can't lead people where you yourself have not been,
mm-hmm.
right? And so if you have been somewhere, you can lead people there. So to someone like a teenager, like someone who might say, well, I don't have this crazy dramatic storm that I've ever been through, but you have been through a storm. And so think through how you can use that to help someone who's below you. Well, not below in like a negative term, but someone who is going
or just who's around you,
right.
Just someone who's experiencing
exactly.
something. Yeah, my mind went to just, we've said this before. A lot of people have said this before, that God doesn't, call the qualified or equip the,
qualifies the
he doesn't called. Call the equipped. He equips the calls, the called. Yeah. Sorry for stumbling through that. But the point is, you don't have to have everything perfect before you go help someone. Just last night we were teaching a kind of a Holy Spirit class. And elective kind of theology, real life theology about the Holy Spirit. And one of the verses that was referenced from, I think, Mark 13, Jesus said, you know, you're gonna be taken before courts and before authorities, and don't worry beforehand about what you're going to say. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's going to give you those words. And mm-hmm. so when we are in those situations helping people, just trusting God in the midst of our storms, we do have the promise that the Holy Spirit is with us,
mm-hmm.
speaking through us words that we might not even be prepared or aware that are coming out of our mouths. That's how mm-hmm. powerful God is. So, man, good conversation. We could talk for hours longer, but we're going to wrap up with a fun game. This was one of my favorite games growing up. It's kind of like catchphrase, but it's taboo. Do you remember taboo?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, do you have the buzzer?
I don't have the buzzer. Oh. It's just going to be my, you know, my voice.
Okay, like there you go. Okay.
So here is your stack.
Okay.
And Adam, there's your stack. So don't show each other. Okay. And it's going to be one word at a time. I'm going to start a 1 minute timer. Luke, we'll have you go first. You're going to see how many words you can get through. Oh, Adam, don't look at your cards yet. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So how Taboo works is you have to get Adam to guess your word without saying the four other words that are below it. And if
and
you
of
do,
course that word up the
well, and of
top.
Course that word at the top. If you do, you will be counted. Yeah, you'll be counted off.
Okay.
And you don't get credit for that. So we're going to do. We'll see how many you get this first round and see if we need to play a second.
And I just
round.
Go through and get as many as I can
as
in
many
one
as you
minute.
Can. If you say a word, you have
Papers,
to forfeit.
No, a ghost.
Okay. All right. So on your mark, set, go.
Coins, bills,
money.
Yes. Wow, all of the ones.
Pass.
Yeah, pass.
Okay, skip that one.
Can you pass?
Right.
You yeah, can? Pass. Okay, all right. Transparent.
Glass.
Outside. Inside to outside.
Oh, my gosh.
Transparent.
Transparent, inside, outside.
Blinds.
Blinds, windows.
Curtains, there we go.
There you go.
ribbit.
Frog.
Ooh, there you go.
Library. I can't use that one.
You said it.
Okay.
5 seconds.
Tricycle.
Four.
Bike.
Three. Two.
Oh my
One.
Goodness!
All right, time. Gluten. Time is
gluten.
Time is
up. Allergy.
And yeah. the first round, Luke, you got four.
That is not good.
Okay, so Adam, we're gonna do same thing for you. A one minute timer. I've got your list. All right, Mark, get set, go.
Dive, noodle, wet, summer,
pool, swimming.
There you go.
Let me see. I can only use one word, right? I can't use like a whole sentence, or can
you
I
use the whole sentence? Oh, okay. Just don't say those extra words.
Oh, okay, great. Yeah. So you put these on before you probably put on anything else when you're getting dressed.
Undergarments.
Okay, more specific.
Socks.
There we go.
Okay. All
right.
So
30 seconds.
Whenever you, this is something that Josh would do that you or I would never do for exercise.
Run.
There we
go. There you go.
All right, so this is Jesus walked on this.
Water.
There All right. So the fancy name whenever you go to watch the latest Marvel show.
Fancy premiere.
Name. No. Where
Four
you're
seconds.
Going.
Three.
Where you're going.
Two. One.
To, you're going two. To the
That's time.
Cinema.
Cinema.
Cinema. Okay. So, hey, you guys got 1-1. You want to run it back for one more round? Same.
Run it back.
Run it back.
Just like the Chiefs will do.
All right.
There we go.
All right. Luke, you're up.
Okay. I've got to
up your game.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Show me which one you're doing.
Even though, who's really winning here?
Okay. There you go. I think, I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. Round two.
No, what I'm saying is like, who's winning? Is it
yeah,
the...
like.
Is the Who? Guesser winning?
Technically,
or?
You're on the same team.
Yeah.
On the same team. So there's no winner in this?
See, yeah, sure.
Oh,
okay.
Man.
Okay.
Okay.
Go.
Gluten.
Bread.
Yeah. You wear this every day at the top of your person.
A hat.
Josh McNish, Jeremy Carnes, Scott Shiflett.
Guitar.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
The worst hour of your life. Not,
oh, my God.
Not a real, not incredibly qualified in the world of PhD.
Oh, my goodness. You.
Oh, my gosh. I have no
have
idea.
To get them cleaned. Cavity.
Oh, Dennis.
He's letting his
I'm just
yeah. bias
going
come
way
out.
Too long. Yeah. I always let my bias come out.
15 seconds.
Golly. Cabinets, sink, faucet.
Kitchen.
Uh-huh. The fourth season.
Season.
No school. No school.
Oh. You said season. You can't say that. And time
oh,
is
it
up.
Is season. Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right. So you got 9, Luke.
Huh.
I got 9.
9.
You got 9.
9.
9. Okay.
Boom.
Are you ready, Adam?
Ready.
All right,
here we go. Last round. See if you can get more than five for the win.
Okay.
Here we go. Go.
Blank goose.
Duck.
I am the captain of the
ship.
Oh, wow.
Okay. I was like, look at me. I am the captain now.
The opposite of white.
Black.
There you go. Three.
Cotton.
Headed ninny muggins.
No.
Cotton sheets. Cotton
no.
mouth. Cotton.
Nope.
Balls.
At a carnival.
Oh, cotton candy.
Okay.
I am
going to snap a.
Finger.
Nope.
Tooth.
Nope. So that I can capture a moment.
Snap a picture, a photo.
There you go.
There you go. There's five. You got 15 seconds for the win.
Orange, sweet.
Orange, sweet.
Food.
Food.
From the ground.
Carrot. No, carrot's not sweet.
2 seconds.
Oh, no. What?
Come on.
What is it?
What was it?
It's a sweet. It's a potato.
A potato. That's potato.
Boil them.
Orange.
Mash them.
Sweet potato.
Well, a sweet potato is orange, but the word is potato.
He was getting you to fill in the blanks.
The orange one threw me off.
So, for all you Lord of the Rings fans out there, boil them, mash them, or stick them in a stew. Potatoes. That has been a wrap, and it was fun today. Hope you guys had fun too. More than that, we hope it was helpful and encouraging, though, as you navigate your storms and your life. Man, have a great week, and we're excited for week two of Healer next Sunday. Hope to see you there in person. Let me get my timing right. We might have some cinnamon rolls that day, I think.
Yeah, it's Spring Forward Sunday.
Spring Forward, so set your clocks right, sleep, go to sleep, and get here for the cinnamon rolls. We will see you there and then back in your car next week. Other than that, man, we love you. We like you. Have a great week.